I'm back on Twitter, motherfuckers. Yes! Yes! I'm back on Twitter. Nicholas Petris says, restarting. No. Odyssey's working. Guess what? Odyssey's working. The deep state is in shambles. The vaccine mandate for the Pentagon, for the troops, has been dropped just now. And I'm back on Twitter. Can you feel the rats of the deep state fleeing the ship? Leave. Leave because we know the crimes you've committed. Leave because we know the constitutional rights you've violated. Leave because the birth of the internet was the beginning of your end. Fuck you. Fuck you to the deep state that took over Twitter to control a psyop about Ukraine war for the last 2 years. Fuck you to the deep state that has taken over Twitter to control people's thought and communication around medical liberty and the fucking vaccine. And fuck you to the deep state agents that have taken over Twitter to silence the rational arguments that we brought on the subjects of race, of consequences, of criminality, of demographics, of immigration. Fuck all of you. You're done. Because now we're there on Twitter and we'll be able to liberate our friends. We will not forget the soldiers who have fallen behind us. We leave no one behind. Which is why some of my first tweeting, there are other people who were liberated at the same time as me. Isabella Riley Moody. Don't know who that is, but good. Liberated. Stefan Molyneux. Somehow I was bundled with the unbanning of Stefan Molyneux. Isn't that fascinating? Because Stefan Molyneux has never been up for having a discussion with me about my book. He did join me in a tag team debate against communism. So slowly I have been warmed in the circles of Stefan Molyneux, but he has refused to talk to me or about me for a long time. And he gave the reason back then, something about my personal life. He attacked my ex or something. I don't even remember what he said, but he said something about my ex. So somehow Twitter, the algorithm of Twitter that decides when people get unbanned, they see the similarity between me and Steph more than he can see himself. That is what I found hilarious. That somehow we are both, this is the libertarian day. And the two libertarians who had been banned are now back on Twitter. However, we didn't get any post from Stefan Molyneux on Twitter. So I don't know if he intends to go back to it or if he intends to snub the Twitter. But one of my first posts was to... Well, first, my very first post was, who do you think got me banned from Twitter for a year? Hello? And this is, of course, a wink to Kanye West and Elon Musk, who both have said this in various circumstances. They have said, who do you think something? Who do you think did this? Who do you think owns the press? And so I said, who do you think got me banned? Hello. My second series of tweets was for the soldiers who have not yet been liberated by the criminals of Twitter, the people who are making sure that Twitter is pursuing an anti-competitive, monopolistic cartel of human thought control. I said, I thank Elon Musk for liberating my Twitter account, which was criminally taken by the previous anti-competitive and illegal Twitter cartel. However, the fight for a true general amnesty is not over. Many accounts were banned under similar pretense. Millennial Woes, Keith Woods, Joel Davis, sorry for writing David, Blair Cottrell, Band, Account Suspended, Alex Jones, Dr. David Duke, Kanye West. It is time for Elon Musk to stop playing with Twitter as his play toy and leave place to an open discussion of ideas. If it's legal, leave it up, is what we were promised. Paul Zook was banned also. Paul Zook, Margot, Lives Margot, Mark Collette, Me2S3M, Jared Taylor, American Renaissance, and I've since added Junes Loca, Ryan Dawson, and others. All of these people must be unbanned before I consider that Twitter is back into a state of free speech and that general amnesty has been given. I will continue this fight. I will keep this list up. I will enrich it with whatever people answer in the replies. I will collect all of those and I will give an update regularly on my Twitter account about who has been unbanned from that list. Mark says, I wouldn't leave Gab. Let's see how long Twitter lasts. Yes, definitely. We don't want to leave Gab. John Drake says, are you going to abandon Gab? No, not at all. In fact, I will try to find a way. Of course, Twitter is more engaging because there's more people on Twitter. So I cannot help but the fact that there will be more interaction because there's just more people on Twitter. But I will try to find a way to arrange my life so that there's a way I can provide something unique to Gab, even if it's less often than Twitter. I would like to copy first a lot of my tweets. Of course, the show will always be available on each platforms. If I have a thought, sometimes I will put it on Twitter, most of the time, I'm guessing. Sometimes I will copy that thought to Telegram, Gab. And sometimes I would like to provide unique content to Gab for thanking them for providing this last bastion of true free speech. For also being the leverage that we have on Twitter. All of this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't of Gab. So credit, proper credit should be given here to Andrew Torba. Because there is no Elon Musk being frustrated about how Twitter was turning if the people weren't together at a separate place and show that the internet had been divided. See, one of the worries that Elon Musk expresses in one of his letters, in the whole letters of interaction around Twitter and investors, he says the internet is at risk of being permanently divided into circle jerks, local circle jerks. And so that is a problem. And Elon Musk, therefore, was alarmed at seeing not so much Twitter go down, but Twitter rise for the leftists while platforms like Gab were rising for the right winger. And by the way, someone told me just before I got unbanned on Twitter to go on Post. And I was like, okay, Post, I've heard the term before, but I never quite got there. I started an account, they banned me within an hour. I hadn't even posted anything other than hello, my first hello tweet on there. So at this point, Twitter is more accepting and more tolerant than this so-called Post, which is supposed to be a shitposter sewer. But somehow this shitposter sewer has standards that are above Twitter. They spotted me and it's like, oh, JF, he has IDs that are dangerous. Let's ban him. Somehow I'm known enough that they banned me without even letting me express myself on this platform. So fuck Post, fuck the shit poster, leftist, crappy sewer people of there. Fuck them. Now, yes, Gab is not the same thing. Gab is a thing that has been a crucial leverage point onto Elon. John Drake says, huge problem. Drudge called them digital ghettos when he was sane. Oh yeah, I've heard that Drudge has not been sticking to his old beliefs. And let's never forget that when internet censorship showed up, you had a couple of people on the fence that knew that they were going for the side of the censors. Let's never forget these people. These people at the center who can say something about freedom of speech, but when it came down to it, when censorship showed up, they stood with it and they didn't talk against it, and they started making justifications. And we'll see. I'll review the video interaction of Neil deGrasse Tyson, because another one of my tweets today was to say to Neil deGrasse Tyson, look, your arguments are invalid on the vaccine. He tried defending the vaccine on a podcast. He got destroyed by a host that was not particularly intelligent. But I think that my review could destroy him even further, because the host was not very clever. He didn't pull all of that which he could have pulled. So we'll do this. There's also another account. Someone told me, Jeff, will you defend the reinstatement of Articles of Unity? Because Brett Weinstein is complaining, Unity 2020 was a nonpartisan effort to escape the duopoly stranglehold on American politics. Twitter suspended our account under false pretenses as the election approached, and the account remains suspended. Why? Where are the Twitter files on Articles of Unity? I had celebrated the shutting down of this voice back then, celebrated loosely and comedically. Of course, I'm not for censoring voices. I'm against censorship, but I found it hilarious that Brett thought that he could bring a third rail option, while he himself ignores third rail options of biology in his own field. You know, he still is continuing his non-intentional non-reading of the revolutionary phenotype. It's been going on for years. I don't know exactly how many years one can pass while not intentionally not reading a book. There's a point at which it becomes intentional. And I think I will prepare a tweet very soon for my return to Twitter on these people who have been committing soft censorship. They've been standing silent in front of certain kinds of censorship, and they have been ignoring advances in their own field in a way that deprives their audience of valid knowledge and valid information about the true state of advancement in their field and related fields. The Richard Dawkins of this world, the Brett Weinsteins of this world, you guys, I'm coming at you. I'm coming at you with my reinstatement on Twitter. I will be calling them out very soon on this standing beside censorship and benefiting from it and using it as an opportunity to justify your intellectual laziness, your unwillingness to engage with the most important theory presented in biology, certainly for the last 40 years, if not ever. I've discovered the key to understanding the early origins of life on planet Earth. You should engage with it, because that key undermines a lot of things that you've been stating before. All of you, Richard Dawkins, Brett Weinstein, Lawrence Krauss, all these people who suddenly stood beside the censorship and said nothing. I'm coming at you because I have a Twitter account now, and you'll have to either get informed on the revolutionary phenotype or accept that there's going to be a guy tweeting it in your face every year until I die. Stephen Robinson says, JF, we must do seasonal campaigns to get Brett to read the revolutionary phenotype. All hands on deck. Yes, it's coming. Don't worry, I will be tweeting about it. But today I was just enjoying the reinstatement. I went to a sports bar and I ordered a beautiful burger, and I just, you know, I knew that things were going to get better starting from here. I'm not satisfied yet of the reinstatements because I have a huge list building up of accounts that I would want restored. But the fact that I'm restored is a sign that Elon Musk is taking serious. And I thank a lot of the people in the chat, in the audience, Lorenza, Mark, all of you have been developing your own tactics, and a lot of others that I don't even know, a lot of people that I've not been informed about, but they're telling me, yeah, JF, I sent this email to this person. Mark recently tried to send an email to the media people at Twitter saying, hey, I'm a journalist, and it seems that there's no general amnesty. Take, for example, the account of JF Garyapi. It's not been unbanned. And on my side, I was, of course, filing the appeals every week, sometimes many times a week. And some other people were filing complaints against Twitter to say, hey, why is JF not back yet? So lots of warriors have been involved, and Lorenza was clipping everything I said about Elon, all of my direct messages to Elon. She was making sure that it was uploaded on Twitter video. All of you have certainly contributed to the pressure, because it's all about pressure. These people are extremely lazy, and they don't want to convince themselves that they've been doing so much cognitive wrong to the public space discourse and the people engaged in it and the businesses that they've ruined with this censorship. They don't want to be told that too much. So you keep telling that until you're back, and you say, those are my conditions. If I don't see all these accounts back on Twitter, I will consider that you guys are a bunch of bullshitter of the internet, and I will cheer for the falling of your company. Fuck Twitter. I say fuck Twitter. That's what I would say if we don't get free speech back. Now, I tested Twitter today because someone attacked one of my exes, claiming that she was the R word. And so I tested Twitter. All right, there's still a rule against harassing people for handicaps and stuff like this. So I filed a report on that rule. It couldn't be clearer. The guy just came to me and started insulting that ex and started saying, you know, using slurs against her. So we'll see. I expect this person to be banned. I want Twitter. Tell us what the rules are and follow them and apply them when a white male gets attacked. That's all we ask. Can we get this, Twitter? Can we get this stemming from a fucking high skyscraper building from San Francisco, or that's too much? Because a white male has been attacked for engaging in an heterosexual relationship with an handicapped person. How does that not fit the direct rule that says do not harass people on sex, gender, and handicaps? I expect a ban, and I will report on my show about whether this ban happens. Carlos says, JF, your blue check mark isn't on there. That is another thing that is absolutely disadvantageous, and it's a continuation of the damage that has been clearly, you know, the Twitter files have clearly exposed that the way we were banned was all fake. They were looking for reasons. They were like, okay, I need to ban this guy because he's a right-winger. Here, I found him violating this rule. And they were targeting people, and they had orders from the government to shut down our businesses, basically. Because that's my business. That's how my family lives. And by the way, there is no safety net. There's no grocery store that will hire me to place milk anymore because I ruined my name just to stand for IDs on the public space. So they destroyed the last business we could have, which was internet business. It was targeted harassment. Yes, Mark. Now, you would think, okay, if I've been wrong, that wrong should be repaired as quickly as possible on Twitter. And I should be given the rights to access all of the service of Twitter as quickly as possible, since a wrong was committed. I don't want to put that wrong on Elon Musk's head. It's not his wrong, but it was the wrong of Twitter. And if you pursue that wrong on me for 30 more days, you are hurting me based on a wrong. You are continuing the harm that was already initiated against me. And so they cannot give me a blue check mark. That's what I'm saying. It's a wrong that pursues the people who were banned because they made a rule that you cannot get the blue check mark. And I was willing to pay right now. I was willing to pay today within the minutes that I got Twitter. I checked if I could pay. They're telling me you cannot pay because your account has been inactive in the last 30 days. So we cannot give you the verification blue check mark. So you acknowledge that I've been harmed, that I've been processed through a undue set of processes that have targeted me unfairly, that they tried breaking my business at the order of the government illegally. And you're going to tell me that I have to wait 30 days to get my blue check mark, which I'm willing to pay for now. That is a weakness of this whole process of unbanning. Elon Musk, I understand why you make this 30-day rule. It's to keep spammers off. But keep spammers off that are recently registered. Don't punish the guy who's been inactive on Twitter because he's been banned. The banned account that are restored should have the legitimacy that they have stacked before. Now, it's a 30-day harm. I will wait the 30 day, I guess, but Elon Musk would be intelligent to expedite this process so that his Twitter blue check mark can take off the ground, because I don't see much people going for that service, Elon. If you want to pay those high-class meals to your lazy employees for a couple of weeks still without going bankrupt, you're going to need Papa JF money. And so why don't you make it faster so that I don't have to wait 30 days to buy your fucking $10 checkmark? Steven Robinson says, JF, will you get verification from Twitter that posting show links is not spam? No. When I know that something is right, I'm not going to ask for permission. Never ask for permission. See, this is the whole trick that the government does, where they make it so that you have to ask for permission to fish, you have to ask for permission to everything. And just asking for permission is implicitly recognizing that what you're doing may be wrong. But I know that what I'm doing is not wrong. Publishing my show links every day, it just so happens that I'm a big producer. I produce every day. So an algorithm can easily think that I produce more than others, and therefore it must be spam. But CNN produces articles every day, and they refer to their own website. Every podcaster posts his own links, and I will continue posting my links. And if they ban me for this, I'm willing to die on this hill. John Drake says, better to ask for forgiveness. I don't ask for forgiveness, never, especially not if I've not committed anything wrong. Public transport in Melbourne, Victoria, which is said to be one of the best cities to live in. Let's see what this guy has to say.
Why do you get touched to get to have a good life and I get nothing? Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck! You! Why do you get all the pussy and I get nothing? Fuck you! What's that gonna make you old cock? Oh, let me guess. It earns a lot more money than I got. Yeah. Fuck.
See, he's in a crisis, but we can see that he has left his team in this crisis, because he's talking about the guy probably having more money than he does. So he's frustrated against capitalism and the injustice associated with capitalism. Someone says, I think he makes a point. It's hard to hear when he yells like this. Jackie Chan had been sending a super chat on Entropy during... Well, actually, he did it at the end of last night's show, but I was already in the outro, so I thought I would answer to it. Today, Jackie Chan says there's a post going around about natural birthing. It says epidurals can cause complications, that it's better for the woman to be up and move around, and midwives are safe and better slash lower risk than hospitals. Your thoughts? Yes, I absolutely respect natural and home birth, and I absolutely encourage it. Now, the question of scientifically, is it less risky? You'll never have a scientific work looking at this into any serious depth because we don't have the statistics readily available, and the scientists don't want to know. They don't want to know because scientists are employees of the state, and they're willing, all they will find will always be in line with, well, it's better to go at the hospital. So we'll never know. We'll never know. You have to listen to your instinct on this. And my experience, having seen many births, some of them with epidural, some of them without, at the hospital, and some of them without and in the home birth environment. The home birth environment is much better for the woman, in my view. Much more freedom to move. Just the fact that you don't feel stuck on a bed makes females try different positions, sometimes standing, sometimes on knees, sometimes laid down on the side, and they discover their body much more through the home birth environment, whereas when they're at the hospital, they feel that they're going to be told everything, and they stand on their bed, and the nurse kind of suggests that she does have to stand on their bed, to stay on their bed, so that leads to much less discovery, because once you start discovering as the baby progresses through the canal, the woman will find that different positions are just perfect. Like sometimes it's going to be a very weird position, maybe standing, maybe with the leg a little up, but somehow this position is just perfect. The baby is not putting pressure on the inner hip. She feels good. And if you don't have the epidural, you don't get any of this. So the baby rips through in the way that is the most damaging to the tissue possible. And the woman doesn't have feedback to say, oh, well, that hurts. I'm going to move to another position. So this feedback information, in my view, is an element of nature that is necessary for a healthy pregnancy, for a healthy delivery, and it should be not abolished systematically as we do in hospitals. And so, yes, there are risks associated with epidural. A miss of the syringe can rip a part of the spinal cord. Generally, it is said that it is temporary, but as a neurobiologist, I know that no damage to the central nervous system is temporary. All of it, although if you may recover from the sense of numbness that you may feel for a couple of days, I know that axons are not repairing themselves. So the central nervous system has ways to redirect when there's damage to it, redirect the flow of information, but you don't get those axons back, I think. So if the doctor really messes with your spinal cord, your central nervous system will kind of find a solution on the side that might make you feel okay eventually, but I don't think it repairs itself fully. Carlos says, JF, I had a theory that postnatal depression is caused by epidurals and cesarean secessions. The woman's body doesn't realize it has had a baby and tells them that they lost the baby. Very interesting take. Very interesting take. We affect so much of the feedback mechanism that we may be triggering some of this, and we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know because our scientists aren't interested to know. And whenever you have one original doctor who says, oh yeah, I'm all for home birth, he gets pushed on the side as, oh yeah, this is the bizarre doctor that speaks against hospital interest. Because of course, all of this is designed, all of this system is designed for the hospital to be the default economic recipient every time there's a bird. It's a bird tax, really. That's what they've done. Quicksot says, we must introduce the discussion in a smart new ways. He's talking about a very censored discussion. Okay. Yes, let me know when you find a way. When you find a way to warm the normies' mind to these ideas. By the way, if you'd like to support the show on this amazing day where I'm back on Twitter, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. If you don't see a dollar button under the chat, you need to add a payment method to your Odyssey account. Doubting Thomas says, JF, on the topic of forcing others to read TRP, is there a low-hanging fruit scientific paper that you can think of someone can write and submit that highly cites TRP? Then the reviewers would be forced to address TRP and move the needle to public acknowledgement in the scientific community. Your strategy is a background strategy, forcing reviewers to say anything about TRP in a closed setup where their name is not even identified. I don't think it matters. And I'm beyond trying to convince old scientists that there's something to be read in the revolutionary phenotype. I'm at the point of shaming the entire scientific establishment and saying, as long as they don't attain these truths that are in my book, available for $9.99, perhaps even less, in a digital format, as long as they can't access this and they can't teach this to their students, the university is drifting away from the search for truth. And we are opening in the private sector, in book writing and in streaming, we are opening a line of inquiry that is deeper and that searches for the truth more efficiently than they do. As long as they are not shamed by this enough, they will not read TRP. So I will shame them for the rest of my life. Dr. The Name says, someone sent Weinstein the book. It's not even long. He really has no excuse not to read it. Well, I am that someone. I sent the book, signed by my hand, a high-quality hardcover with a personal letter to both Heather and to Brett, two books that I've sent. I mean, these things cost a lot. I do expect them to be graced by the revolutionary phenotype theory. Mycroft Holmes sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, welcome back to Twitter, gang. It's amazing because the difference with Gab is palpable. You know, I want to respect Gab and I want Gab to be successful because it's our only fallback and our only leverage, really. But the fact is that Gab sucks in terms of how it processes news. Like, I can't get fresh news on my feed. I refresh the feed and it's like, oh yeah, 24 hours ago, someone said this weird comment on some weird, super specialized subject. And I'm like, give me the news. When I'm on Twitter, I know that if I refresh my feed, I'm going to get the latest, sometimes at the second level, sometimes at the minutes level. And I can certainly get the last few hours of action, and they're much faster at detecting this. And the mass of interactions and notifications is so much bigger on Twitter. That's something that we can't really reproach to Gab. Okay, you're dealing with a smaller crowd. But certainly the technology behind the feed generation is something that needs work on Gab, because I use this as a professional. I need to be aware before the show. I have a little window of maybe 5 to 10 minutes in which I must be updated if something really fresh happened. And I'm talking something that's not yet on CNN and Fox News. So Gab cannot give me this, unfortunately. Nabarius sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, thrilled that you're back on Twitter, JF. Mainstream intellectuals were getting too comfortable in an environment where their IDs couldn't be challenged. It's critical just to have a seat at the table. Absolutely. That's why I'm most happy about this, is that on Twitter, you can call out people and you know that they're reading their notifications. You know that my tweet to Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to be read. You know it's going to hurt him inside. And you know that Neil will be hurt by the realization that his argument is invalid. In this whole interview where he cocks for the vaccine fascist, I will show you how you argue against his bad arguments. We're going to spend the next 25 minutes doing a full word-by-word review of the stupidity of Neil deGrasse Tyson. Let's get it on!
From what we knew at the beginning of COVID to what we know today, what do we know about the vaccine today that we didn't know while we were all testing it in America, taking it?
We know about the negative efficacy. We know that people are more likely to get COVID after 3 months. We know that there are constant new waves of new immune escaping variants that keep showing up. We know that we've increased the background death rate. The background death rate of 0 to 14 years old in a way that killed 1,000 children in Europe in a year. And who knows where we're headed, maybe more. But 1,000 innocent children slashed by the COVID fascist, slashed for saving grandpa, what, a couple of months, maybe?
What have we learned now?
What do you mean testing it on America? There were tests before it was released.
9 months is not a long time to test.
No, but it was.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson already is on the test. There were tests before it was released. The tests that have been made to the vaccine do not correspond to the degree of testing of really any previous comparable drug of any kind. We all expect years of safety tests. We all expect a rational reaction in the case of a drug against any adverse event, where people will not deny these adverse events, they will be alarmed by them. But we didn't see that in the vaccine test. They said, all right, 3 months and not so many people have died, let's go. And on top of it, there was massive fraud in the process. We've seen a case of a South American a lawyer who had been chosen as a subject by a subsidiary of Pfizer, because it's always subsidiaries making the research kind of on a contractual basis. And he said, I have an adverse event. I have a massive life-threatening adverse event from the vaccine. His doctor thought that he was correct in this evaluation. But it didn't get included in the research paper of Pfizer that's given to the FDA. Didn't get included as an adverse event from the vaccine. They called it an effect of COVID. Now, if you have dishonest people handling the trials, then no trial was made, really.
It's tested.
Yeah, but Naima, the average is 30. The average is 5 to 10 years. I mean, 9 months is not enough.
And the host has a point here. The 5 to 10 years, we have zero knowledge, zero testing. So we are in total ignorance land on a new technology that's never been tried before in humans, except one case in Africa, and it's not looking that good. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, JF, did you cover this story? Oh, yeah, it's the story of a teacher who was shot by a six-year-old. I didn't cover it, but yeah, it's an illustration of the ridicule of modern society, in which you have these females wanting to help everyone under a state salary, and it's like, oh yeah, let's build a bridge, let's teach everyone mathematics, and it's like, They are confronted with a population that is so outside of their, that diverges so much from their reality, that at 6 years old, the guy decides to bring a gun intentionally and shoot her. So, the guy's already a little gangster. I have nothing more to say about this hilarious story, but
okay, so you have to say test. No, you have to ask. Hold on. It was tested on in trials. Okay? By the way, I'm not claiming to be the expert on all this. I read all the same things you have, mm-hmm. but I'm a scientist.
I'm not the expert, the cop out.
So I read it as a scientist, okay? There were trials. That's what the point of phase one, two, three trials are all about.
Does a trial tell me whether I should risk toward the unknown for the unknown part? Does a trial tell me, should I take a risk that mRNA technology could turn into myocarditis for basically everyone that got it for within the next 10 years? The trial tells me nothing about this. And anyways, even if the trial was to reveal a good chance of saving me some harm, that would still be my decision, right?
About. They are tested enough to get data on how to then advise the larger population. Yes, it was tested. For you to say it wasn't tested,
wasn't tested enough.
Gap between your awareness and understanding how things work and what actually happened. It was.
Wasn't tested enough. What do you have to say about this, Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Tested. If you want it to be tested on millions of people instead of thousands, you can put in for that. You can say, I don't want this unless it's millions. That's okay.
Totally fine with.
I don't want this unless I'm let free to choose it. That's the important matter. I will not take something under extortion, threat, pressure. Fuck your vaccine. No matter how many people you tested it on, fuck your vaccine.
With me, okay. I'm okay with that.
So, based on that, do you say, let's keep testing it while the virus keeps spreading?
Here's one thing I could do as a director of the CDC. I could say, look, population, we have 3 months of tests. These products are new. 3 months of tests gives us confidence that if everything we think is correct about this vaccine, you should be safe. You should be safe, and therefore we recommend the vaccine. But keep in mind that we haven't done the study on the long term. We don't know if you're going to die of myocarditis in 10 years. When is it that it became taboo to have warning labels? I thought it was a thing of the leftists. I thought, you know, in Canada, they've put gigantic warning labels on tobacco, and it's like, you're going to die from lung cancer. Here's a picture of lung cancer. You're sure you want to die from it? Well, take it then. I mean, basically, this is what the government does on cigarette packs. When has it become a taboo that we shouldn't do to warn people about actual risks? What if the CDC director was at least as honest as Neil deGrasse Tyson is here by recognizing, oh yeah, we don't have a million subjects. Oh yeah, we don't know about in 5 years. We don't even know about in 6 months, in fact.
Okay, right. So this is the contest between the information you have available to you at that moment.
We have plenty of information. Don't condescend upon us, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I have more information than you about the vax. You don't consider yourself an expert. I'm a biologist, and I've kind of become an expert of the vax questions just because of my news coverage in the last 2 years. So don't tell us that we don't know or you don't have the data. I have more data than you.
And what's going on outside the lab? People are dying. Hospitals are becoming overloaded.
Why do we talk about the unit of death? This is what I would ask to Neil deGrasse Tyson. A death is an event. It happens to someone. To even consider this as a unit of measure is fallacious. Because the death of a 80 years old is not the same thing as the death of a 1 year old. The death of a 100 years old is not the same thing as the death of a 20 year old. we need to start talking about this, because the deaths that you're talking about, they are deaths of people who wouldn't have had much more esperance of life, much more life expectancy left to them. And so in years lost as human beings on Earth, it's very low, really. You could have millions of... We saw that the average age, that was amazing when it came out. The average age of someone dying from COVID is the average age of death for human beings. You know what that means? It means they were due to die. They would have died from something else if COVID hadn't been there. The deaths that you're trying to keep from happening are deaths that are happening around the average of deaths that are already happening anyway. Fadam says, I think postnatal depression is just a natural response to keep weak, bleeding, vulnerable women at home while they recover and prevent them crazy choices at this important time. That could be true. Yes, could be true. Valid hypothesis.
Loaded. So, do you say we have good data on the 1,000? It's not yet at 1,000,000 in case you wanted 1,000,000.
It's bad data, first, because we've seen fraud in it. And second, it's economically incentivized by a bunch of communists who have taken over the state to control these trials and control the public communications around it. You've censored a part of the population so they couldn't even debate the fairness of these studies. And you're going to tell me this is good data? It's data that I can't even talk about for most of the year where they got the vaccine out.
Are you going to say, let's still do it on another, let's wait another 6 months so we get another 1,000,000 in here?
Yeah, let's wait.
Will you do that as a public health professional?
No,
I will do that. Or if I'm really convinced that the vaccine is good, I'm not going to act in collaboration with the businesses and the states and the corporations and the governments to make sure that my message is understood that we have to get as many arms injected as we can. The most I would do as a CDC director is take my role of medical recommendation seriously and say, I recommend this vaccine because I really think it's good, but make your own decisions because there's lots of unknowns. And I would inform people about the unknowns. Only in the vaccine business is there a taboo against informing people about the unknowns. It's on every label. It's on every label of every drug you can ever manufacture. All of the unknowns, all of the things that could happen to you, the known side effects, the unknown but possible side effects. Only in the vaccine do we have this absolutely blank paper that begs to be written on. Yeah, there are dangers. And so, yes, it should be people's decision whether they expose themselves to these dangers.
I would have said, allow the individual to still have a choice that's okay with 1,000 instead of a few million. Leave the person have the choice. Not force him to take it or else you're going to get out of the Marines and you've been doing this for 14 years.
And by the way, Neil is about to go on a tangent on the social contract. I'm waiting for this moment of the interview. He's about to try to justify this whole forced extortion experiment of medical science of the last 2 years as a social contract that is hidden. It's implicit. You've never heard about it, but it's there and you signed it. Let's get to this.
Here's not force them to take it or else you have to quit your job as a nurse.
There's a public
it's
health
force versus there's a choice.
There's a public health contract that you have signed.
Is there, Neil? Is there a public health contract that binds all of my actions with their consequences and forces me to get the vax? Why don't we have a public health contract? Let's say I have a part of the population. Let's call them Group A. I have made measures on Group A. I have data on Group A. Group A has revealed itself to be a quite criminal group. Group A is committing 8 times the violent crimes that other people would normally commit. Group A produces babies, which will also be part of Group A. And Group A, therefore, whenever they're making the decision of making a baby, they are causing crimes to occur, violent crimes against people of all kinds. Why is there not a public health contract that forces them not to have kids? Why do we have this conception of liberty, of non-intervention from the state on their ability to have kids? Let's rediscover liberalism together here, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Why don't we oppress Group A? We could reduce the number of crimes. We could reduce deaths. We could have better data. We don't oppress Group A because we recognize that Group A is not a fine enough parcelization of each of the people in it, that we could be catching non-criminals through such oppressions. We could be ending up oppressing people who don't deserve to be oppressed. And the same applies to COVID havers, COVID carriers. When you judge someone who's unvaccinated as a potential COVID carrier and therefore a COVID carrier, and you try to oppress them on their decision-making and violate their body boundary because of a judgment that you've made about the whole group of unvaccinated, you are violating a principle of governance and liberalism and democracy and pretty much everything that the Constitution was designed for, to oppress people that don't deserve to be. And that is bad. That is extremely wrong. And I hope that you understand this next time, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Silver Spider says, but JF, in your reality, JF doesn't have any job in science. In communist world, Neil gets a position that a long list of other people could do better. Ah, the suggestion that Neil is not a real scientist. We've heard that before. I don't know what to think. Show me your thesis, Neil, and I'll judge.
Implicitly, as a citizen of a country where in part we depend on each other for health, our wealth, our security, and the like. And that contract is...
Okay, so if we depend on each other, somehow that justifies the mass violation of a group-based category in society. How does that not qualify for the oppression, for an argument for the oppression of Group A?
In the best scientific evidence available at the time, if you do not get vaccinated, you will put other people in this organization at risk, and that...
How do you know this? Is Neil aware that the current science on the vaccine is that it does not stop transmission? Is Neil deGrasse Tyson aware that the current science on the vaccine is that new strands are evolving to immune escape the antibodies produced by the vaccine? So how can he make this causal affirmation, which is in complete contradiction with the studies around the vaccine? The studies around the vaccine, at best, would make a case that perhaps some people are protected for a couple of months from the disease becoming so grave that they end up in the hospital or die. That is the best case that the current science can make. You certainly cannot make the case that taking the vaccine will cause less infections of COVID to spread across the population. That was the great disappointment of the vaccine enthusiasts. It's that they couldn't claim anymore that the vaccine stops transmission. Neil is arguing for a case that he doesn't understand anything about.
Organization does not want to take that risk, so you do not have this job anymore if you decline it.
So you are suggesting that we will extort a medical decision from people by threatening them a cut from access to a financial viability in their life. You are establishing a plan, Neil deGrasse Tyson, to extort medical decisions from the population. But let's test your liberalism here, Neil deGrasse Tyson. What if a bunch of people were to tell you we can live with the consequences of our action? What if they were to tell you we can start businesses for anti-vax people and they can come and be anti-vax and we will be recognized as the anti-vax grocery store? And we will only allow either unvaccinated people or people who are vaccinated, but who are willing to go into the unvaccinated grocery store. Would you be willing to let that happen? Because the state didn't allow this to happen. Someone couldn't start their own business and say, hey, this is an anti-vax business. We're unvaxxed here, so enter at your own perils. No, you didn't allow this. You have cut the liberty of people to develop an alternative society to your perception of what was the best thing to do for society. And that is why it's wrong. If you want to create your grocery stores for vaccinated people consensually, go for it. A volunteer establishment that says, oh, well, you know, we really care about those risks and we don't want to expose ourselves to it. Create your own establishment, but let me build my own grocery store in which I don't have to follow those rules imposed to me by other people, because the perception of risk may not be the same for everyone and their actual data-based computation of risk may be genuinely different. If I'm a 17-year-old, I'm sorry, but the vax represents a bigger threat to me than the COVID.
So, with any public health decision, there has to be a consequence to you not participating in that social contract.
The social contract that you've established is completely in violation of liberal principles and the principles on which our societies are established. So I have my own social contract. My social contract says you don't force people to get vaccines under any circumstance, and you don't violate the body boundary under any circumstance, unless it is for self-defense or for application of a law. Neither of those things were involved here. We were talking about executive orders by state executives, state governments, and executive dictates by institutions at the federal level. There was no law that was passed legitimately by a federal Congress making this obligated. So it was all done on the dirty side of politics. And not only this, it's been violating the right of people to live differently. It's been keeping a business from saying, hey, we don't care about those risks, we care about those risks, and from offering a service to the unvaccinated. You didn't need to impose a fascistic approach to those unvaxxed people. You could have let them produce their own parallel society, but you didn't. You wanted to change the behavior of everyone to fit your standards of evaluation of risk. That is the definition of a violation of liberty.
Is it your job? In some cases, it was. But no, we're not going to have the army busting.
Again, if a company wants to have their employees and say, it's a criteria for me to hire, I want you to be vaxxed, so be it. But you tried imposing it by the state. You tried having governments force it, And you've done it based on very poor data. In fact, data that was speaking against your case. And that's why today we have the army stepping back. Even the army finds that forcing its soldiers to be vaccinated wouldn't be very productive. So at this point, it's kind of an economic decision to them. It's like, we're going to end up killing so much young people that we may not have an army anymore. We're lacking too much already on the recruitment side. We're going to lose even more with the vax side effects. Fuck it. We can't do it anymore. All you had to do for your position to be legitimate, Neil, is to let an out. Let a bunch of people who want to start their grocery stores and farms to be unvaxxed farms, an unvaxxed grocery store, an unmasked unmasked cinema, and unmasked studios, and unmasked apartments. But you didn't want this. You wanted to impose it on everyone. Mark D's channel sends $20. Thank you so much for the support. He says, salut, JF. Thanks for the show and congrats for being back on Twitter. I hope it's the beginning of a new era for you and truth seekers. Fuck your vaccine, indeed. ND Tyson is a failed comedian. Just the fact he supports the globe Earth is enough to make me doubt it. Wow. I thought you were about to make a flat Earth statement of some kind, but okay, you're saying you believe in the globe Earth, but you don't like to be on the same side of an issue. On the same side of an issue as this man. Well, what a clever way to kind of refer to the flat Earth theory, but not commit to it fully.
Into your home and force a needle into your shoulder. That's not.
There are various ways you can force, Neil, and extortion is one of them. And it's a crime, by the way. A crime that our government has been committing again and again in the last 2 years. And what you suggest here is extortion. It's like, if you don't give me $100, it would be very sad what could happen to your niece. That is extortion. You're saying, if you don't do this, I will constrain you to live with that consequence. And it's extortion to be, isn't it very sad how, you don't have a vaccine and you're kidding people around you? It would be very sad if you were to lose your Twitter account for talking about it, or if you were to lose your job for being too anti-vaxxed.
Not going
to
happen.
We pretty much did that.
Well, only put your job at risk, yes.
The host is right. We pretty much did that. There's also social shaming and the mob. All of this is a set of pressures meant to bend the will. All of this is illegal.
Yeah, 67% of Americans took the COVID. That's force. That's not a choice. That's a lot of force and core.
And yes, when the government does something by law and they allow by law to fire, or they force by law to fire an employee, they are using force, because they're using the threat of force, which is the same thing. Saying, I'm going to put you in jail if you don't do that, is the same thing as putting someone in jail. From a violation of will perspective, you're doing the same. Threatening violence is violence.
Coercing and pushing going on, but
you can't go to the school unless you're vaccinated against
bullshit.
Well, Neil, can I start a school where I can go to it while being unvaccinated? I can't do this. I can't do this 2 years ago, and I can't do this in some states still. So don't tell me about liberty and you can do this totally, but no. I can't. I cannot start a school in which I welcome children that are unvaxxed. So you're imposing it on everyone.
I think that's bullshit.
That's a different country.
Yeah. But
okay. Would you want a country?
No, America is supposed to be the one that offers the most freedom. That's what America is supposed to be.
Yeah, okay. So watch.
So for example, if you use that argument, somebody may say, well, freedom of choice, I want to choose what I want to do with the body. You're right.
What body?
if you want to get an abortion. It's your choice.
Your own body. Your own body.
Sorry. If you want to get an abortion, get an abortion. If I want to get the vaccine, I get to choose. So you can't force. If I can't force you to get an abortion, you shouldn't be able to force
me to get
the.
Because it's not about you. It's about people you interact with. And that's the social contract of public.
And the classic argument of it harms other people, therefore I can violate your liberties. The perfect example to show that Neil doesn't even believe in this is to compare this with abortion. Abortion hurts other people. Now, some people were telling me, Jeff, they don't consider the child to be a human being. So they kind of categorize themselves away. They ignore the issue because they will tell you that the child is not a human being. Okay, fuck the child. Abortion still hurts a father who would want that child. So abortion has consequences of others that are harmful. And some of the women going to get abortion are going without the knowledge of their husband or boyfriend, and they are going after promising a baby to that boyfriend. And yet the doctor will have no problem getting the baby killed, aborting the baby, which will harm the genetic and psychological interest and mental health of a father who was expecting to have a baby. So the idea that if something harms others, suddenly you lose your liberty, doesn't exist. This social contract that Neil talks about does not exist. And even if it was to exist, you would have to leave the alternative be. The alternative being, hey, we're a bunch of unvaxxed people. We want to start unvaxxed grocery store. What do you say about this, Neil? Because the CDC and the governments and the state governments told me I couldn't. Why can't I start? If it's all about the social contract, people should be able to not consent to this contract, to say, I want to start a parallel society. Will you let me be? No, I have to follow COVID rules if I start a grocery store. And that even if I was to display a big display at the front of my store that says, this is an unvaxxed grocery store. If you enter this place, you will be in contact with unvaxxed people. If you enter this place, you give up your right to be protected by the state against COVID. You accept the risk of COVID. They won't let me do this. Trigmamel sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, I found out more about the coworker I'm dating. She broke up with her boyfriend after I asked her out. Which means that's how she leaves males. We're talking about a list of red flags with her, therefore. But that's just what women do these days. Women are just unreliable, disloyal, and they don't care about hurting men, and they don't have a concept of contract or commitment or honesty. So, should you leave her for this, or should you inseminate? You know, there's a chance that she will just settle for you, that after insemination, she becomes a good mother and is attached to you. There's a chance. And anyways, that kind of crappy behavior that she displays and red flags, that's pretty much average on today's female population. So what I say is, I can't guarantee to you that the next female is going to be better than this. So accept the low level of crap that we have to live in as males in today's world. Wish for a better world in the future. And just inseminate, maybe. If you feel like it.
We don't even know if the vaccine worked or not at the time.
Yes, that's what the trials are. Dude, that's why these trials...
The trial is a picture in time. Doesn't tell us how long they will work. In fact, it turns out that they work about 3 months best. So a picture in time doesn't tell you the whole picture, Neil. It gives you a snapshot on the current viral population, there is no guarantee that the new variants that emerge to be immune resistant will be addressable by an equal vaccine. If they are, that vaccine will have its own risks that are not evaluated. There's no guarantee that the race that humanity is trying to engage in against the rabbit of evolution is winnable. Realize this, please. There's no guarantee that you're not just going to save people from a danger to redirect them toward another, and that evolution will forever find new dangers to affect you. That's what we did with the COVID vaccine. If the COVID vaccine had been some massive evolution of humanity that we've overturned nature and free ourselves from the risk of death, we would have seen something like a bump down on excess death. We don't even have a bump down. We have a bump up since we have the vaccine. So we're killing people. We're killing people, and we haven't saved much people.
You missing data out
but,
there?
But let me ask you a question. Are we saying only one type of scientists are right?
No, we're saying that the system in place.
The 16,000 that signed that.
No. The system in place to test vaccines. Yeah.
A system of crap that doesn't pay the price of being wrong. The only good systems are those that pay the price of being wrong. Who pays the price if the vaccine is wrong? I do. And therefore, I am the deciding system. Will Fauci be sued if the vaccine turns out to be bad? No. And even if he gets sued, he will win because he will say, oh, well, at the time, based on the data available, I made the best decision that I could. So Papa JF is the one paying the price if Papa JF's vaccine ends up hurting him. So Papa JF makes the decision.
There's an entire system that's in place.
A beautiful system. Hey, Neil, there's a system in place for public governance in America and the military. Isn't that a beautiful system? Oh, yeah, that system gets exploited for decades to lead wars based on lies, to do all sorts of foreign interventions, illegitimate, illegal, criminal interventions in other countries. There's a system. There's a system for our army.
That with review boards and all of it,
the average,
that's in place.
Oh, there's a review board. Are you telling me there's a review board? Wow, is the review board paying the price if the vaccine is bad? Are they losing their house? Are they losing their lives if the vaccine is bad? No.
Now you can say is, I have a better idea than all these review boards and all these agents.
I don't have a better idea. I have the only legitimate legal interest in the question of vaccinating myself, which is my body will be paying the price of it. And you're trying to violate this unique and only legitimate interest in this whole thing. No one else has a legitimate interest in determining what goes in my body.
Agencies and the CDC, I have a better idea. Here's what you should do. And that would have made everything better.
We cannot, he's saying, why don't you argue your ID? We can't argue our ID because we've been censored. We lost our Twitter accounts. We've been told by a bunch of leftists in San Francisco, you can't make a video about this, you can't make a video about that. How are we supposed to present our IDs if our videos get deleted, our Twitter accounts get banned, we get demonetized? You don't want to hear the alternative ID, and the CDC doesn't. The CDC has been in full collaboration with social media to censor any alternative ID. That is the problem. They don't do this in the case of many drugs, but they did it in the case of vaccines. Ariel Suarez says, I bet those review boards would pay a price if they were to go against the establishment narrative. Yeah, your own inner medical doctors, your own people don't even have the liberty to talk against your dictates. You're not even letting the people on these boards speak against it, and when they disagree, they get ostracized and excluded. There's no legitimate debate. I'm not going to trust a truth that was found without a legitimate free debate in which the person adopting the opposite position was free to speak.
Better. Okay, you can put forth that idea, but what I'm saying...
You can't, Neil. You can't put forth that idea because you will lose everything. In the context that it was a year ago and 2 years ago. Thankfully, now Twitter is stepping back into freedom, but that's just in the last few days. Forever since the COVID started, it has been the case that you cannot put forth that ID.
Saying is, in a case where you can contaminate someone else, it's not about you. It's
what about the cases where someone can commit a crime against someone else? Wouldn't that warrant reproductive intervention, Neil? What if a group commits more crime than some other groups? Does that hurt someone else? Yes. So making a baby in that group ends up in a certain percentage of murders and rape and theft. So why can't we intervene to stop it since it harms others? Personal liberty doesn't matter anymore, right, Neil?
It's about the collective...
You're assuming.
...health.
You're assuming. You're assuming.
And even if you were to grant, okay, right, individual rights disappear when others are armed, even then, it doesn't have a case for the collective to have been improved by the vaccine. Let's look at the Euromomo, current data, Euromomo. If the vaccine was a gigantic innovation, why is it that since the vaccine has been given, which is here in 2021, we have a background death rate that is above the red line, above. Notice that when COVID was there in 2020, we were not above the red line. We had the seasonal death, which is what we used to call the seasonal flu, but somehow we started calling these peaks the seasonal COVID. So seasonal COVID. But then look at the background rate. Death. Suddenly, the peaks are not what it is. People are dying all year long. And then I start looking at, well, what are people dying from? They're dying from unknown causes, and they're dying from a lot. Like, it's just amazing how much unknown causes they're dying from. Because suddenly, I don't know, medical science cannot find the reason why people die, or is it that they can't say it? That they can't say it's the vaccine. And then people die of problems of heart, circulation, blood vessel problems with the brain. And how is it that if the vaccine was supposed to save us, how is it that we've increased the background rate? And most importantly, the 0 to 14 years are suffering enormously from this. If you look at the cumulative data, the 0 to 14 years are extremely hurt by this. We don't see it on that graph because we don't have the cumulative deaths. I don't know exactly where is it that I can... Maybe it's this one, I don't know. There's a place where you can get... there it is. Excess mortality. Look at this, 2020, that's the line. So low mortality for the 0 to 14 years old. 2021, that's the blue line here. Okay, we start in 2021, something happens on the 20th week. the vaccine starts here. And the cumulative death of the 0 to 14 years old starts going above the normal. In 2022, it keeps going up until it reaches 1,000 deaths almost. 1,000 deaths for 2022 of young children. How is it that the social contract binds these young children to die to save a couple of months to the 77 years old? Why is that, Neil? Where is that written in the social contract? Who the fuck would sign this stupid contract if they saw it be in front of them? Who would be crazy enough to sign this contract? You're gonna kill 1,000 existing children in Europe to save exactly how much we don't know, old people? That is absolutely insane. But that is what Neil is standing for here.
I mean, because somebody can take the vaccine, won't get COVID, which, by the way, I don't need to play the clips for you to see it, where everybody said, hey, if you get it, you're not going to get, if you take the vaccine, you're not going to get it. Rachel Maddow, Joe Biden, I can give you Fauci, I can give you, and you've seen these clips before. It's not like you've never seen it before.
Yeah, yeah. What happened?
They
was,
were wrong.
Hold on. So, this.
I love his facial expression.
Strain evolved. Okay.
Strains evolved. Would they have evolved in the same direction, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you hadn't injected so many people? And so if the strains have evolved, are you part of the causes of it? Because by your standard, I just walking around without COVID as an unvaccinated person, I'm causing these risks in the physical universe. I'm just emanating causes. Is it possible, Neil deGrasse Tyson, that you are emanating causes and that you may have caused this evolution to happen where it wouldn't? Because one thing that we notice about the new COVID variants that show up right now and that have showed up really since Omicron is that they are selected for immune escape. They have immune escape properties. That's because of you. And so now the deaths of COVID, are they because of me, the unvaxxed, or are they because of you who caused this evolution to happen? See, no one in the CDC and the Faucis and all these people who have spoken for the vaccine, no one is seriously considering the possibility that Brett Weinstein has been even presenting before they started standing for the vaccine. No one is telling us, no, Jeff, I'm sure that I won't cause this kind of evolution to the virus because A, B, C. No, they don't even have an argument. So they caused it. They know. They know they can have these effects, but they just they ignore it. It goes out of their brain. Oh, those are not my causes. Those are the unvaccinated causes. So they use a double standard in how they attribute causal routes. Causal routes attributed to the unvaccinated, very easy. We're going to attribute everything to you. It's all your deaths. But when they do stuff that causes death, they're not willing to consider the causal route. Suddenly it's the virus evolved. We didn't know that evolution existed. Sorry. It's not like we've been defending evolution against creationism for the last 20 years with Richard Dawkins. It's not like we've spent our entire lives building our public persona around defending evolution and saying, oh yeah, evolution is very, very important. No, sorry, evolution happened and we didn't have it in our calculations. It didn't pass. Kenter says, Neil is standing for what he is paid for, lol. That said, smart people largely self-censor because they know the consequences of not censoring themselves. Like JF said, most of the brain is working on to prevent us from doing social mistakes. He is a clown. And honestly, there is... Okay, I'm deleting your comment. Kentar, that was a beautiful comment. You could have let it stand on its own and let people... I have to do so much censorship still, even if I'm back on Twitter. Like, I have to go back because he had... Yeah, okay, I deleted your comment. Now it doesn't exist anymore. But I'm forced by governments and agencies and corporations to censor you because you said these things. Dino Logovich says, JF, NDGT, is the influencer of the influenza? I don't know. Neil deGrasse Tyson, is he an influencer of the influenza? Yes, he influences influenza because his campaign of vaccination may change the evolutionary history of influenza, so he's an influencer of the influenza.
So that the vaccine that prevented you from catching COVID was tuned to the variant of COVID at the time the vaccine was denied, what was designed.
Okay, but you could have thought in advance about the consequences of your action. Since you're asking me to think about in advance of the consequences of being unvaxxed, certainly you can do this. Can you hold yourself to the same standard that you hold me? I'm telling you that there were people like Brett Weinstein and a bunch of scientists who appeared on his show at the very beginning of COVID, really, a little after, 6 months after, but certainly before the vax. And these people already knew what was going to happen. They already said on the record, on the public space, in ways that we can look back and see the video, that this was going to happen. So why is it that I'm being asked to think about the consequences of my action, but I'm supposed to stand in front of an evolution-believing scientist and say, oh, at the time, the data that we had at the time was that the vaccine was working with the COVID that we had at the time. But you couldn't possibly have made the same thought process of these various scientists who appeared on Brett Weinstein's podcast, and you couldn't possibly have predicted that the vaccine would become invalid in face of the new variants.
Signed, okay? Over time, there were variants that arose. The vaccine provided partial protection against the new variants.
This is all the bullshit we keep being served by condescending, ridiculous medical fascists. We know all of this, Neil. We know all of this, but you weren't willing to let unvaxxed grocery store go on, unvaxxed speech go on the internet. You wanted to control it all. That's the problem.
Enough to keep you from dying, statistically, and to
keep old people from dying, really, because young people don't die very much from COVID.
Basically keep you out of the hospital, allowing other people with more severe problems to get the hospital attention they required. And so then they would develop a subsequent booster and a subsequent mixture of the vaccine. This is what happens every year with a flu shot. They look at
very condescending, Neil. We all know this. This is not the point.
How the flu is evolved.
They turn so quick on this condescending mode when they get caught, when they're stuck in a corner. Let me explain to you that there is a mix of DNA. Yeah, we know. I'm a fucking genius of biology. Get to the point. The point is about the political liberties that you violated. The point is about you shutting down your opposition. The point is about your hypocrisy of standing here and saying, just make that point, and then stand silent in front of the censorship of those very people who tried to make this point.
Evolve from one season to the next, and we have, what's fortunate is Australia tends to get the variant of flu before we do, because they get their winter in our summer, and then so we study that, have a forward projection for it. So That so these annual flu shots are precisely out of the same idea of how.
I don't want the annual flu shots anymore. I'm not interested. I'm not taking a single vaccine anymore because I've seen how shitty you guys are at it with the research and the lies, the fraud, the control of public opinion. I'm not taking a flu vaccine. I'm not taking anything anymore. Fuck this.
How this occurs.
How long have those been tested, though? For years. COVID vaccine hasn't been tested for it. It was something we just came up. Okay. But let me.
I don't know what point you're making. Other than it was tested, you might.
9 months is not enough.
You might prefer. No, yeah. It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of how many. Yes, time matters, but the number of people is paramount. That's the most.
Well, the number of people, the time, it doesn't matter. I don't have to justify to you that I don't trust the science on this question, because the science anyway is funded by the very people who benefit from the scientific answer being one way rather than another. So I'm done. I don't believe the science for my own reasons, which I would explain only to my audience, not to you, Neil. Now, the question is, why can't I have a free existence as an unvaxxed with unvaxxed grocery store that I will do on my own fees? I will establish my own buildings and I will network with people that are unvaxxed like me. Why are you allowing society to come in and ruin my social networks and keep my farmer from selling meat in my unvaxxed grocery store to my clientele who has accepted to be in an unvaxxed grocery store? That's what you've done. That's what your side has done, Neil. And so your arguments are crap. I reject the entirety of Neil's appearance here. The host wasn't particularly smart. Too bad. But that is the question. That is what these people need to be called for. And it's important because we're at a point where they're starting to shake in their pants. You can see it in Neil's oppositions are kind of outdated. They're the kind of thing that you would hear from public health officials maybe a year ago, because he still doesn't seem to understand the points around, hey, you may have caused this evolution. Hey, You didn't let the unvaxxed live. You didn't let them develop their parallel society. You didn't give an opt-out to them. And so, yes, these violations of political rights during the COVID crisis, including forced masking, by the way, why can't I have a grocery store where I'm not forced to wear the mask? If people consent to going in that grocery store. Those are the things that these people need to be called on. I will not review more than this because I realize that I've only reviewed 6 minutes of the video and we're already 1 hour 30 into the show. Anyways, I've watched the rest. It pretty much turns in circle, this discussion. At no point does the host make the points that I've been doing. He just goes back to, and so you can see that the host is kind of recycling his talking points rather than hitting on what's really harmful. End of the line, Joel says, Neil should go on the No Jumper podcast and get into a fight. I'd watch this. I'd like to know, I'd like to see Neil versus Lil Kelpie on who's the real pimp. Who's the pimpest of them all? That would be interesting. That would be kind of interesting. A couple of news as we are headed toward the end of the show. UPS and the package war. The company offers old-fashioned middle-class jobs and is enjoying record profits. So why is a strike looming? There is high competition in that field because Amazon is there, it's growing, so a lot of delivery services are needed. But at the same time, Amazon has been progressively divorcing from UPS-type services. They've been starting their own. There's been a lot of usage of USPS rather than UPS. And so if these employees go too hard, and I know that they're under a lot of pressure, they have They have quotas. They need to deliver a lot. But if they press too hard on having good work conditions, which they already have at $21, they start at $21 an hour. If they demand too much, they're going to be too costly to operate. So I don't know what will happen with this, but apparently a strike is looming. Justin, Judge McFadden has sentenced Antoine Baigtalasca Gione to 60 days in prison for his actions at the Capitol on January 6th, calling his behavior pretty shocking. Well, I think that for Baigtalasca, you know, who I don't particularly respect intellectually. I don't know what the fuck he's ever done interesting in his life other than just attract attention on social media. But I think that he gets away with a very low sentence. The judge presented this sentence as being particularly harsh for the category of Baigtalasca, and he says it's particularly harsh in comparison to other people who had done the same as Baigtalasca, which is just basically to be physically present, because Baigtalasca had bragged about it, had promoted it on social media, so he found that he deserved a bigger sentence. But let me tell you, at 60 days, I don't find this a big sentence at all. 60 days is nothing. Baigtalasca will be passing through it, and he will be back out. There is a two-year probation, though. Two-year probation. But what does that mean in America? Just don't commit crimes and you're going to be okay, I guess. Republicans to vote on a bill that would abolish the IRS and eliminate income tax. That is beautiful. I would love to see this happen, but I'm afraid that this is just one of those votes that the Freedom Caucus has negotiated for it to happen, but it can't possibly pass because there's just too many Democrats who will, of course, want the IRS to be preserved. And there are too many Republicans who are just centrist, leftist, statist. Net zero will lead to the end of modern civilization, says a top scientist. A damning indictment of the net zero political project has been made by one of the world's leading nuclear physicists, Dr. Wallace Mannheimer. Yes, it is worrying how this, you know, the miscalculations that have happened in the case of COVID have led to all sorts of misdirection, leading people to deaths that they didn't have to go through, leading people to expose themselves to risk. You know, talking to a 17-year-old and presenting data. And that's another point that Neil deGrasse Tyson does later in the interview. He says, you have 3% chance of dying if you get COVID. That's not true for a 17-year-old. So when you say this, you're pooling in data from old people and you're misleading the youth. And I'm worried that this kind of miscalculation, this kind of dishonest accounting will happen also in the climate business, and it will be all about, oh yeah, well, we're counting the gas that you burn in your car, but we're not counting the gas that's needed to produce an electric battery. And so that's why the electric car is still better from a global warming perspective. It's all going to be devil in the details, just psychopathic accounting. That kind of, gaslighting. I think there's going to be a lot of accountable gaslighting. Gaslighting people with accounting methods that ultimately tell a lie. What else do we have in the news before we conclude the show? People have noticed that Joe Biden is about to consider a ban of gas stoves. But Jill Biden apparently is cooking on a gas stove. So Joe, you're gonna have to make a choice, ban the gas stove and piss off your wife, or not piss off your wife and not ban the gas stoves. And an ozone layer recovers The ozone layer is recovering, which limits global warming. A UN-backed scientific panel tasked with assessing the effects of the 1989 Montreal Protocol, an international agreement to phase out ozone-depleting substances, has found that the ozone layer continues to strengthen, and as a result, the Earth will avoid 0.3 to 0.5 degrees Celsius of global warming by 2100. Well, okay. Awesome. And finally, I wanted to share this video. Someone jumped from a plane, and it may have been a long time ago, I don't know, but someone jumped from a plane without a parachute. And with the idea of being catched by a net set up on the ground.
Jumpers are away, jumpers are
They're
away.
Off.
So he's accompanied by people with parachutes in case things go wrong. And my God, I would be nervous. He's there without the parachute, just chilling with the other parachute people. And look at this, eventually he tells them, all right, I'm good. And they go away, they trigger their parachute. Now he's alone. He's like, okay, I'm confident that I can fall in the net.
Luke is on his own. And the crowd on the ground looking up, they have a visual on him right now. He's in!
It took quite a gigantic net to make this happen. Don't do this, bro. Don't do this. So much of these things end in death. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Bye-bye. Thank you.